Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
Live from Media Play Creative Space in Clifton, New Jersey. It's the Ron Kelly Show, back and better than ever. Syndicated nationally and online at blogtalkradio.com. And of course, on Facebook Live. Back to my self-imposed hiatus last week. Y'all know it's good to take a break, everyone. It's almost like a vacation, so I'm feeling fresh and raring to go. Tonight, my guest is CEO of Family Learning Center and author of In My Father's Shoes, Healing the Father Wound. Goes by the name of Malik Carey. Welcome, brother.
Hey, how you doing, bro?
All right. We're going to get back to him in just a second. We have a lot to get to, but I need to let you know that the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you in part by High Above Media. High Above Media offers a one-stop solution for all your LED advertising needs, from custom-built websites, digital signage media, along with brilliant LED menus that dazzle your clients. Call Jimmy Burzak at 908-930-5017. That's 908-930-5017. The email is jim@highabovemedia.com. And, of course, the website is www. Do we still have to say that? www.highabovemedia.com. Okay, we're coming up on Easter. Incidentally, Good Friday is upon us. If you don't have anything to do tomorrow, is it tomorrow? Yeah, it is tomorrow. Okay, you can join us at Christ Church, either the East Campus in Montclair or the West Campus in Rock Creek, New Jersey, where parking is plentiful.
That's on the West Campus.
In the West Campus.
Yes, yes.
Okay, what a circus the United States government has turned out has become, and not just under Trump, because it was already a circus, but now it's more of a circus. Let me see, where am I? Shout out to my Facebook people. Oh, right, there you go. Shout out to Arlene Demarest. They can see us whether I've split the camera or not. Right. I still see it. Shout out to my Facebook folks. Yeah, what a circus. You know, the Mueller report came out. We're going to get to my brother, Malik Carey, second. You know, the Mueller report came out. I know y'all want to hear what I have to say about it. You know what? Not much, because it's a bunch of nonsense. You know, I'm going to get to that stuff a little bit later on. But we got to get going with the show here. I'm going to thank everybody for showing up and, you know, cutting up with my nonsense every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. You know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And also, you can, in case you missed me, you can catch me on, you can go to the Ron Kelly Show archives on blogtalkradio.com. You just, you know, just put into your search engine blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show, and you can see hundreds, I believe, of radio shows that I've done in the past. So if you want to catch me, try to catch me in a live, because I don't lie. But you can try to catch me with us. You can log on to my set over there at Block Talk Radio. Okay, brother, I'm going to skip over this political stuff. I'll get to this a little bit later on, but, you know, because I know you all want to know what I got to say. Okay, let's get to our guest. He's the author of this, I think, semi-autobiographical book called My Father's House. It's my pleasure to welcome Malik Carey to the Ron Kelly Show. Welcome, brother.
How you doing, man? Yeah, what's going on, brother? Doing well.
All right, we got Malik Carey in the house, so I know somebody I recognize him. Because he'd be on Facebook more than I do, but and that's an accomplishment. But he's the author of In My Father's Shoes. And I read some of the what people said about your book.
Some of the comments, man.
Okay. A lot of people were touched by it. I too, you know, was touched by it. Because I really didn't know what it was about. I knew that you had written it. You know, it had been in publication for a while, and I really didn't know what it was about. I guess from the title, you can kind of guess it had something to do with fatherhood.
Or absence of fatherhood.
Yes. And so let me just ask you this book now. Everything starts with a thought. So let me ask you, where did the idea come from? Not just to write a book, but to write a book that's so personal.
All right, so basically, In My Father's Shoes, Healing the Father Wounds, I like what you said, semi-autobiographical. About my own story growing up without a father.
Okay.
All right, and my father, she was healing the father wound. Basically, I grew up without a father. I grew up, like most, a lot of us African-American men grow up without their fathers.
Yeah, I have a story too.
Okay.
Go ahead, bro.
And part of the story was, I used to have a mom who would tell me I was just like her, right? So growing up without
a bad
father,
way.
No, not just in a bad way.
Not in a bad way.
No,
okay.
No. If I did something good, if I smiled a certain way, man, you look like your father, or you act like
your
father.
So it wasn't like, you just, you know.
Right.
All right.
Or if I did something wrong, you just like your father.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, that leaves kind of a question mark, right? Because you're asking, who's this man I'm supposed to be so much like, but I don't know.
Right. How can I compare,
right.
Make that comparison, and I don't know the man.
I don't know him, never met him, don't know anything about him, but you're telling me I'm just like him. So growing up with that leaves some identity. Right, some identity crisis almost.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Right, you know, I know what I look like on my mother's side. I know what I look like, you know, because I'm growing up, I'm here, and I look like my father. My mother, you know, you see my mom, like, we do face each other a lot. But then, you know, you're hearing you just like your father. And so, you know, again, it leaves you an identity crisis. And so growing up, I'm wondering, who's this man I'm supposed to be like? Right, and so as a kid, that leaves a lot of question marks. Where is he? Is he near me? Is he far from me? I heard he was from New Jersey. But where have I ever passed him before? So doing all of that just leaves a lot of question marks.
Yeah. So how did when the idea first? Well, shout out to Arlene Demarest. Shout out to my boy DJ Tiny. DJ Tiny Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Putting the house on you on DYMusicRadio.com. Shout out to Gil Maestro Jr. Hey, Gil, what's going on, man? Trying to do my thing over here. Thank you for checking in. And thank you, all of you, for checking in right here on the Ron Kelly Show. I know there's a whole bunch of you. Shout out to Councilman Louis Vidalis, fifth ward, I believe it is, in the great city of Paterson, New Jersey. Councilman Blaze, thank you for stopping by the Ron Kelly Show with my special guest, Malik Carey. But take me to like the very beginning. I mean, was it the fact that you didn't have a relationship with your father that spurred you on to write this book?
No, basically, my story gets a little deeper because then
we're gonna save it for the book, y'all.
Right.
So don't, you know,
we can buy the book.
Yeah.
We won't talk about the book.
Yeah.
But we're spurred on it, the fact that like so many people who don't know their fathers, I got to find my father. I found my father at 24, and in that finding my father, I got to find out how much I was just like him. So that's where the "In My Father's Shoes" comes from, right? I'm in the mental health field, so we talk a lot about nature nurture.
Yeah.
Right. There's a part of you that you're nature, right? That's your DNA. And then the nature is how you were raised and how you were brought up. And when I found my father, I mean, my dad had 8 kids by 6 different women. He was very charismatic. He was fun. He was charming.
But you didn't assume that part of him.
Yeah, you? No. I didn't assume that part.
Right. Kids.
I didn't. Right. Well, that's not true.
He wasn't a rolling stone.
No, that's not true. I just did it differently. Unfortunately, and I can talk about it today because I've been saved, but I used the abortion clinic as a tool. Right, so I did some things that maybe I'm not proud of today, but I could have been just like him even in that arena. And so, you know, talking about that kind of stuff and understanding that I was like him in many ways. And so, growing up, running around in the streets, you know, using my masculinity, using, you know, being tall, brown skin, handsome.
I didn't think it was good. I feel you.
Right? I became a womanizer. I became a lot of what my father was. And so growing up, being able to talk about those things today, you know, and write about it, that kind of sparked what this book was all about. So In My Father's Shoes is me walking this journey, first of all, for 24 years with him, and for 20 years, you know, I mean, without him for 24 years, walking the same path, we had a lot of the same stories, a lot of the same pains, a lot of the same personality. And so growing up and doing that kind of stuff sparked me to do that. And as we go further into the interview, healing the relationship.
Yes, we're gonna get into it.
So that's what kind of sparked it, understanding that how I was raised with them, and then finding them at the age of 24, and then having this relationship that we had to go through and heal, and that's the healing the father part, that the healing the father that comes from.
All right, everybody. Well, shout out to Lamont Gates. Congratulations on your engagement, Lamont Gates, and shout out to Diana Glenn, my sister from way back when. All right, we'll take a quick break and come right back with more of this situation right here. This is Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh, yes, it is. We are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Once again, check out my archives, blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. You can check me out over there anytime. You get lonely and you want to hear my voice, shout out Steve Mayrant. You can check me out on the, you can check me out on the blogtalkradio.com archives. And once again, the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by High Above Media. Check them out, www.highabovemedia.com. You can email Jim at highabovemedia.com. Got a lot more. He's a great guy. Also, the advertiser, and surely he'll find a way to get you in. Okay, it's a couple of minutes before that. We got to run over a little bit. We're going to run over the 85 hours a bit today, everybody. So just bear with us. So most of y'all are happy about that. At least you should be. So we got to run over a little bit. Because I really want to get to this brother and get deeper into this book when he carried it. It's called In My Father's Shoes, Healing the Father Wound. That's the second. Okay, yeah, let me be proper now. In My Father's Shoes, Healing the Father Wound. You know, I was watching a piece of, I just had to stumble on a piece of Paternity Court.
Okay.
Yeah, just you know how the videos pop up on Facebook and stuff, and I just happened to pick up a piece of that. And what happened was, there was a man in the maternity court. Now, there was a man who had been looking for his daughter for 24 years. And he had a relationship with the girl's mother.
Okay.
Who was neighbor in college. And then, you know, I guess they got separated. But on the girl's birth certificate, the man's name wasn't on it.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess that's how the system goes. You reach out to the court and they reach out to the person that you claim. And then they do the DNA test. So the young girl, the young lady had never met this man, didn't know he even existed. And so she thought that the stepfather and, you know, well, the mother and the stepfather died in a car accident at the same time. Uh-huh. So she had peace be upon him. So she's thinking that man who died was her father.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out, and she's like, I don't know this man. I never seen this man before, you know. She's kind of iffy about it. So what happened at the end of the day, they did the DNA test and it turned out that the man was the daughter, was the father of the girl. Little story. I got a little misty watching that. You know, but I didn't grow up with a father either.
Okay.
We'll get into that a little bit more. So all y'all know that's what's wrong with me. I didn't grow up with a father. But anyway, let me
Now, writing this book, right?
Mm-hmm.
There had to be some pain.
Oh,
I believe that there might have been like major pain, like trying to challenge Steve Mayrand. There had to be some pain writing this book and going back into stuff. You probably bury, because we bury stuff. I know I bury, you know, I got a whole graveyard stuff that I bury. So,
right.
How was it like, you know, what kind of experience was it like going back and
let's go this way. Definitely there was a lot of pain. So I found my father when I was 24, and I got to find my father when I was 24, and one of the things that happened for many years I took a lot of my pain out on him. All right, I blamed him for everything.
Also, after you finally met him,
right?
Kicked his back.
Yeah, kid. Right. Yeah, dogging him. It's your fault. You know. The funny part about it was anything that I said negative to him or whatever, he would never like flare back at me. You know, he'd be like, "Son, you just like me." You know. So really going through some of that stuff, it kind of hit me, right? Because he would never fight back. He would always be kind and like, "Look, son, you just like me. I did the best I could," all that kind of stuff. And so I think around the age, I found him at 24, and around the age of 38, I really got saved because I was raised in church. And one of my best friends, man, his name is Jay. He was, shout out to my brother Jay Jones, but his father had passed away. And he said something very profound to me. He said, "Man, at least you got a chance with your father." And so, you know, I was like, "Man, and you got to forgive him." And so I was like, "All right, God, you know what? You going to have to help me with this." And so long story short, you ask God for something, he gives it to you, right? And so I had an opportunity to take a ride with my father one day to North Carolina. And I turned to my father and I said, "Who are you?" And he was 68 at the time, and this 68-year-old man didn't know who he was. And one of the things that God revealed to me was my father was born in 1940. His father was born in 1900, right? He was the youngest out of 10 children. What did they have coming out of North Carolina, right? He didn't have what I have today. He didn't have the educational system. He really didn't even have a chance, man. The school system he was at wasn't the best. And so my father did the best he could. And I think that that's one of the things that happened to me. So when I was his ride and I went back to see where he was raised at, a lot of that stuff just left me. A lot of that pain and angst. And I was just like, "Man, you got to get through the chance." And then in 2012, I guess, my father came to live with me. And through a small series of events, he had to come live with me. And I really got to know this dude, and he was a real special guy. And so we got to heal our relationship. And then in June of 2015, May of 2015, we're in Hawaii, we're hiking on a mountain, and my father drops dead of a massive heart attack. And so at that moment, man, I ran to him, and I tried to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And the words, "Daddy, get up," came out of my mouth. I had never called this man daddy in my life. I never said that. And I said it a couple times, like, "You got to get up, daddy. You got to get up." He didn't get up, man. And,
yeah, that's deep.
Yeah.
Shout out to my son who's who checked in, right? R. Kelly Jr. Shout out to my son just checked in.
Yo, so, man, he didn't get up. And when he, it just, like, wiped me out. You know, so I got him off the mountain. I got him home. And that's where the writing really began, you know. And so when you ask what pain was there, it was the pain in that moment, right? Daddy, get up. I think every young man either craves for that relationship, you know, or looks for it, right? Because I would have times where my mother married. She was never married to my father. She married a guy he was my stepfather. And I would say things to him like, "You're not my real father." You know, he tried to discipline me or something. So every man wants that relationship with their father. Even as a kid, I wanted that relationship, but I never could have it, you know. And then when I got it, I didn't value it as much as I maybe should have or whatever. And so, really understanding that part of the healing process, that was really, that's when the real healing became for me.
So is that, but now writing a book, did that further along the healing process?
Oh yeah, definitely. In my father's shoes, healing the father wound. And it takes you through the steps that I needed to do that, right? One of the things I had to do was go to counseling. And as a black man, we don't go to counseling. You said it earlier, we stuff it.
We bury it.
Right? But that doesn't get us anywhere. And so one of the things that happened for me was when my father passed away, I just went into this real dark place. And I couldn't move. It was like depression. And I had never felt that because I'm this bubbly, outgoing dude. And I couldn't move from my couch to the house. You know, I'm going from couch to the bedroom, back to the couch. And I said to my wife, I said, I got to get some help. And so I called the counselor, who's a great friend of mine. He's now my business partner, Mr. Bill Powell. Let's give a shout out to the Powell Group over in Maplewood, New Jersey. But really, he started on a wonderful job. You know, that was one of the things that kind of happened for me. And I started going to counseling to heal that. And what I realized that I experienced was trauma. So I was able to help me with the trauma.
Shout out to Michael Mazak, my brother from Boston, I think, up there in New England Patriot, hated New England Patriot territory. What's up, my brother? And shout out to Diana Glenn, who says, I believe she's addressing this to you, brother.
Uh-huh.
You had that relationship with your stepfather, so you were punishing both of your fathers.
That's a true statement.
You relate to that?
That's definitely a true statement. Thank you, Diana, for that comment. I didn't know how to have the relationship with my stepfather. And one of the things that happened with my stepfather was he was kind of abusive. I'm not going to label him as alcoholic, but he drank pretty heavy. My stepfather. And so a lot of times we would get into it and a lot of confrontation. He had his own demons. But we drive. I do have a great relationship with my stepfather today. So being able to heal that relationship also. So I've had to heal two relationships. As she said, you know, I was punishing both fathers.
Yeah.
But, yo, at the end.
One for the and right, he's trying to help you.
Right. He's trying his best.
Yeah. Shout out to Tyrone Smith.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for that, Diana.
Because this is, I mean, we could go all night with this.
Yes.
Because there's so many different reasons why, you know, young black men don't connect with their fathers. I mean, for me, my personal story, my mother, when I was born, my mother wouldn't let my father see me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know,
because
yeah. You know, back in the day when there was no cell phones and all that, it was easy to hide back in the day.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like today, you can't hide nowhere.
Right.
Easy pass or whatever else, cell phones. So what she would do was she would, like my father would come around, she would dip back in the window. Because that's how people communicated back in the day. They looked out the window. And because of that, you know, I've never really had a relationship with my father either. I mean, I didn't never meet him at all.
Oh, wow.
You know, at all.
Wow.
And, I think about it sometimes. Maybe I'll go and try to find him, you know, if he's even alive right now.
Now tell me about that, because that leaves a different hole. I had
well, this is your interview, so I'm not doing
well, yeah, but you know, we're doing it together.
Yeah.
But one of the things that, so here's the deal. My wife, she found her father in an obituary. Right. So
that what, why what, I'm doing that too. Yeah.
So how did I have to comfort her? You know, at least I had a chance. And she started the journey. And she quit. She stopped in the middle of it because she got scared. And sometimes she wished she would have kept pursuing it and then to find that out. And, I mean, thank God she was able to connect to her aunts and some other people that she needed to connect to her family. But, you know, that's something that I really want people to understand. And if you go for that journey, because you'll always have a question mark. You'll always have something in you that will be there to say, man, what if I would have, or what if I didn't? And so really understanding that would help too.
Yeah.
So that's my advice.
And that's a question mark that I live with like every day.
Yeah.
But what we'll do, we'll take one more quick break. I promise we'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't touch that dial. Go to the bathroom or whatever it is you have to do, and come right back and join us. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theRonKellyShow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over. Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me every Thursday night, 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live. You can also go to that Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. There's about 5,000 and some change y'all over there. But we can make it out in that. So go to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. Do it now. Go to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. Just click the like button. You know, you'd be glad that you didn't. Also, I'm very close to picking the next person that's going to win the Ron Kelly Show prize pack now. Shout out to Shannon Chambers, who got her prize pack in the mail. The Ron Kelly Show prize pack is just a name thing, a bottle opener. No, a keychain, I'm sorry. Anything keychain, tote bag, all emblazoned with the Ron Kelly Show logo. So, these tote bags are today. These guys don't walk around with tote bags, at least not the guys I know. But anyway, not to keep dirt on anybody else. But anyway, I'm very close to speaking to the next person that received the monetary show prospects. You also get close. Monitor my Facebook page, the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. We'll let you know within the next week or so if that's going to happen. So, yeah, we have to give stuff away here on the Ron Kelly Show. Shout out to Steve Mayran, says never too late. Yeah, thank you, brother. Shout out to Tyrone Smith saying, my man, great job. I'm not sure which one of us is talking to, but I'll assume he's talking to both of us.
Diana says you should find him.
Because this is about the fraternity court. The guy's name wasn't very simple. My father's name wasn't my first name either.
Right.
My mother's name was, my father's name was not. And Malik, you know, I'm talking to Malik Carrier, everybody, in case you don't know, look behind him, you see his picture. It's in my father's shoes, the name of the book, Healing the Father Wound. You can obtain this, a copy of this book on Amazon. But I'm going to give
you Amazon or www.malikcarrieceo.com. If you go to my website, www.malikcarrieceo.com, you will get an autographed copy of the book. And it's a book, it's $20, so you will get an autographed copy of the book.
All right, in case you don't know what Malik Carrier CEO of, he's the CEO of the Family Learning Center.
Family Healing Center. Where families heal.
Where families heal out in Livingston. I got that far right. Family Learning Center.
Family Healing Center.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it should be the Family Learning Center.
Family Healing Center, where families heal.
I think they were able to sign up on the building. Family Learning Center.
Right.
And increase the fees. All right, yeah, Family Healing Center.
That's right.
And, Livingston, New Jersey. Yeah, we'll check this book out. Mm-hmm. Also, you get the copy of the book on Amazon. I believe it was $19.99, something like that.
$20.
Maybe even $20. Even toss that few extra bucks. You know, if you feel the charitable. Yeah, do go on to Amazon and you can get a copy of this. It's very revealing and helpful book. It's called,
my father's shoes. I'm not looking back there. My father's shoes. Hearing the father.
Shout out to everybody on Facebook. Everybody who's checking in.
All the folks who are checking in on Facebook right now. Shout out to you. I love you. Come every week. Just put up with me every week here on the Ron Kelly Show. So I appreciate all that you guys do. It's about 17 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. And we're here live on Facebook Live. And on the on Facebook Live and on the nationally syndicated Ron Kelly Show, and online on, I'm slowing down, online on blogtalkradio.com. And also, now, don't forget about the YouTube channel, Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. It's up and it's running. You can go over there, too, and check me out. You can subscribe to it as well. Just go to YouTube, put the Ron Kelly Show in the search engine, and boom, I'll pop up there, too. Okay, it's about 15 minutes before the hour, if you're listening to Ron Kelly Show, my special guest, Lee Cap. So now we talked about you writing the book. We talked about the healing process took place. Let me ask you now, did your father have a father in his life?
That's a great question.
Right, but sometimes the thing is
right.
It's systemic in a lot of ways.
His father was 40 when he was born. It was a sharecropper coming out of the South. My father was the youngest out of 10. So one of the things that my father talked to me about was his relationship with his father was more about how's the weather, how's business. There was no real intimacy there. There was no real connection. He connected more to his older sisters and his brother. That's what he related to me, that the relationship with his father was not one that was a great relationship. He didn't know his father. His father died when he was in his 90s. He saw his father. He would go down south and see his father, but it wasn't a tight relationship. It was a relationship that, it was basically a how's the weather, how's business relationship. So, but he did know his father, yes. But the relationship was never that tight, from what I understand.
So tell me, how was that first 24 years of your life not growing up, with your father? I mean, some of us shrug it off, and some of us it really bothers. So where were you?
I think you talked about it earlier. I just buried it. I didn't think much of it. But the acting out, acting out in school, acting out in life. A lot of drinking, picked up alcohol probably around the age of 16, weed about the age, same age,
Same story.
Dibbling dad with the coke and all the other stuff, that we do, we try to medicate the pain.
Right.
On top of, having a stepfather that, had his own demons and a mom who we weren't growing up in the most functioning home, so a lot of that stuff kind of played out in the area of just growing up. So I don't think I paid it much attention. Again, to acting out, you're not my father or you're my stepfather, not giving them the love maybe he deserved. But, definitely, dealing with that kind of stuff. Then I had, thanks to the question again, do you have any children? Yeah, I have a son. I had my son when I was 19.
You have one son.
Hold
on a second. Shout out to shout out to former 4th Ward Councilwoman Vera Ames Garnes. I hope this program finds you in good health. And thank you for all you did for me when I was coming up trying to get my show together, the Ron Kelly Show, as many times you appeared on the program. Shout out to Diana Glenn, who says, okay, she asked if you have any children. So you do have a son.
Yeah.
How old is he?
My son will be 30 in August.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had my son when I was 19.
And shout out to my son who's watching the program. He's 27 now.
Yeah. So I had my son when I was 19, and we have an awesome, amazing relationship. I took full custody of my son when he was 12, and I raised him. And one of the things that I didn't get a chance to do, what I realized and what I should have did, was thank my father. Because one of the things that he did was he just made me a great father. I was not giving up on my son. I was not going to leave him. I just said, I'm here, and I'm going to do it. And so we have a great relationship.
he's traveling in London, right? His name is London. He's in London right now, going to Spain and Italy for 2 weeks. So he's educated, he's doing, he's smart, he's a great kid. So, yeah. And he got, and it's so funny because my father, you know, I always say he was a great uncle and he was a great, great uncle and a great grandfather. He was a great grandfather. My son loved his grandfather and all his grandchildren love him. But the father's side, he didn't do that right. He was a great uncle Charlie, and a great grandfather, but he definitely, on the father's side, he didn't do too well. So, yes.
So, but you know, I believe that sometimes, Malik, everybody, Malik Carey, in my father's shoes, Healing the Father Wound is the name of the book. I think that sometimes the relationship between the two people at the time of, you know, it has a big effect. Because, you know, some women don't understand that if a boy doesn't have a relationship with his father, it really does affect him. So what kind of relationship did your mother and your father have? But you know now. I mean, I know you didn't have known at that time.
So my mother loved my father, from what I understand, but my dad had 8 kids by 6 different women. 5 of us are 2.5 years apart. So he was doing his thing. My father had, I have 2 sisters that were born. One was born in February of 68. The other one born in June of 68. I'm actually a twin. We were born in June of 70, and I got another brother born in June of 71.
How many kids were in the house when you were growing up?
Just me and my twin sister.
You see, my mother had 8 kids, and it was like Wall Street.
you one of 8 too. I'm one of 8.
We were all together. Mother had 8 children. We were all together.
Yeah.
And there was four of my brothers and sisters are older than me.
Okay.
So she was focusing on them. I kind of felt like I got left behind, you know, even though I think I had a fairly decent childhood. The only problem was that my father wasn't there. But so fast forward into like today, like where are you today with everything?
Oh man, I'm great, man. And so I am the CEO of a mental health facility in Livingston. I have a staff of about 12, 13 therapists, and it's still growing. Getting ready to open a drugs and alcohol facility, treatment facility.
You went up to the upstairs area that you showed us.
We're building that
out. Okay, all right.
So we're building that out, about 15,000 square feet of counseling space. Really doing what we do, man, helping families to get through what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was God took my mess, he took my everything that I used in my life to start to be able to heal other families. So that's why we call it Where Families Heal, and Family Healing Center with Families Heal. And really using people like me, you know, licensed clinicians, licensed social workers, licensed professional counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists. One of the things that I discovered, you know, that there's no perfect family. None, right? You start in a garden, there's no perfect family. And understanding that there's no perfect family should take some pressure off. Because so many times we're so busy looking at the neighbor or looking at what they may be going through or have, and it seems like they're intact. But then, you know, they got more mess than we do. And I remember something that was real clear, man. It really stuck with me. I got a great brother, one of my great friends, and I was talking to him one day because he got his father in his life. And it's, I said, man, your father, man, y'all had a great relationship, man. Your father was the bomb. He was like that dude father. And he turned to me and he's like, man, my father wasn't. I was like, what?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, right. He's like, man, my mother taught me everything I know. He said my father was so busy taking care of everybody else because he was a basketball coach for one of the major high schools. He never showed up at his games. He said, you ain't never seen my father on the court with us because he was down there coaching everybody else and doing those things. And so it kind of hit me like, whoa, I thought this dude had a great relationship with his dad. I thought his father was it. And he said, nah, man, it was my mom. And so,
San Francisco Sanchez.
You know, a lot of, like you said earlier about the mothers, man, our mothers just hold us down. And
one of the things that I think about a lot is this thing has been done systemically. So some of it had nothing to do with us, man. I call it PTSD, post-traumatic slavery syndrome, right? So we're talking about years of just this system that has been designed to take the black man out of the home. And so dealing with that kind of stuff also, you know, I'm just dealing with a lot of that. But I'm great, man. My wife's good, wonderful wife, son doing well, you know, just doing well.
Yeah, you're good. That's good. Yeah, shout out to Wifey.
Yeah.
See you at church. And shout out to Jack Redman, Pastor Jack,
Redman,
Redman, Christ
yes,
in Church, Christ Church,
Church,
who,
yes,
who
was a
I understand, yeah, helped you out. Yeah.
Yeah, Pastor Jack Redman just really helped me to go deep in the book and really pull a lot out of me that needed to come out. And he, me and Pastor Jack, we've had probably been knowing each other for 10 years, because I've been at Christ Church going on 13 years now. And in the beginning, we would just see each other in passing. And when my father passed away, Pastor Jack showed up at the wake in the funeral, and he started walking me through just that healing process. Whatever. And then the next year, his father, my father died on May 31st of 2015. His father all of a sudden dies on June 2nd, 2016. Just sudden death, and man, he had to drive in Florida, and we just talked about our fathers. I said, you got to work with me on this project, and so he helped me so much, man, pulling it out. He got 8 books in him, and so I was like, look, man, to help me write, he was able to pull stuff out of me that I needed, you know, I'll write or something. He said, you want to show it this way? Do you want to say it that way? How about thinking about it that way? So really just helped me work my project.
Yeah, you seem like a great guy. So you showed up for your father's.
Yeah.
You showed up for Bernard, for Brother Bernard's reunification, I'll call it.
Yeah.
I was there too, by the way.
Shout out to Bernard at Media Fleet.
I haven't even mentioned. We're here at Media Plate, Creative Space.
Yeah.
At 167 Lakeview Avenue in Clifton, New Jersey. If you need some space to do whatever you need to do,
yes,
you come down here and talk to Brother Bernard. We appreciate his hospitality. And so the Ron Kelly Show is on the road at Media Plate at 167 Lakeview Avenue in Clifton, New Jersey. I believe there's a website. I believe there's a website, mediumplate.com or something like that. Or Google, you know, Google and all your folks who live in this area around here, you know, you need some space to work within your budget. Work within your budget. Because some of those places, you know, they want you to pay enough money to like you want to live there. But you can come here to Media, it's not free now, but you come here to Mediumplate Creative Space, 167. Lakeview Avenue, that's where we're broadcasting live from. Media Space, Media Plate, Creative Space, 167. Lakeview Avenue in Clifton, New Jersey. And there's plenty of parking this time, so come on down. Family business. Shout out to Donnie Lynn. What are you teaching your sons about the killings of our young black young men? He has one son, Diana. What are you teaching your sons about the killings of our young black men?
Your son too.
I guess I'm in there too. God, that's kind of wrong. Shout out to Diana Glenn, once again, who says, what are you teaching your sons about the killings of our young black young men by police officers? So what do you tell your son, the 30-year-old?
I've been talking to him since he was 5 years old about this this systemic system and really just protecting himself. My job was always to tell my son he needed to get home, you know, explaining to him how to respond to police officers and what to expect. And I'll tell you a situation. We grew up in a suburb. I grew up in a white suburb. I grew up in Summit. My son, I raised him in Summit, New Jersey. There was a time when he was in late teen. He just got in a car, and his friends were, him and his friend, had one of these little fast rides or whatever. And the cops kept harassing him.
And he would come home and he would talk to me about it. And he was like, Dad, you know, these guys, they were rookie cops. And they were on the scene and they were just pulling them over. And one of the things that I said to him was, don't you ever give them a reason to search you, and don't you ever give them a reason to, don't give them any reason. You know, don't have no weed in the car, no alcohol in the car. I don't want anything because you don't want to give them a reason. And so he came home one day and he called me. He was distraught because guys had just pulled him over one time too many and he was just pissed off. And I said, you know, I went to the police station. I went to the police department and I talked to the sergeant. I said, listen, do I need to call internal affairs? What do I need to do here? Because this is unnecessary. And I know my son was a good kid. He wasn't no thug. He wasn't none of those things. But really just explain it to them. Don't give them a reason. You know, I mean, they got enough reason. If a cop pulls you, put your hand on the steering wheel, you know, turn the car off and just be as polite as you can. Do not shoot back at them. Do not talk back to them. You know, try to, and that still won't stand a chance, right?
You still get it, right?
But at least you definitely trying to give them a reason not to, you know, do that. So, I mean, the conversation.
All right, for everybody on the radio, we're going to, there's about a minute and a half left to the radio broadcast, so we're going to cut that out in just a few minutes. We're going to continue on just a few extra minutes because we were a little behind the eight ball coming on to the radio show today. So what I'll do is I'll extend the show a couple minutes and we can make sure we get the information out there and wrap up the show up properly. So everybody who's on blogtalkradio.com, we'll see you back in next week for another edition of Ron Kelly Show. So until everybody, because I keep hearing this, somebody keeps telling me about the time. So, okay, yeah, we'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, take care of yourself. Remember that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And that we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. We are out of here.